Would you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Today is the day we celebrate Pentecost. After Jesus had risen from the dead, he spent time with the disciples, teaching them and enlightening them about what had transpired and what was to come. He told them to go to Jerusalem and to wait for the Holy Spirit. When we read Scripture, we tend to read over Scripture. We're so familiar with these stories, we've heard them again and again and again, that we just sort of treat them as mundane. We don't often read in Scripture, putting ourselves in that place. We sort of read Scripture like we would watch TV reruns. We've seen these episodes again and again, and after the introduction, when the little intro comes up, we say, oh yes, I've seen this episode before. So-and-so does this, sets up the joke, and then there's resolution, and we just don't think anything of it. We still watch them. We still read Scripture. But we minimize the wonder that is in Scripture. When the apostles were gathered in that room waiting for the Spirit, a mighty wind came into the room. Now, this is not just a gentle breeze that sort of blowed through one window to the other. Think back to when the tornado struck on a Sunday in the recent past. Most of our congregation took shelter in the MRC basement, some in the nursery. But as a good native son of southern Indiana, I stood out on the front porch and watched her come. It was an old pastime back home. We had the only basement in the neighborhood, and all the neighbors would come. The women and children would go to the basement, and the men would stand out on the porch. Now, as I was standing out there, I felt that cold blast of air come. And the wind picked up in its intensity. The hail came, and it was when that wind started sucking the front doors of the church open that I thought perhaps it might be a good time to move into the interior of the building. This is the kind of wind we're talking about. Frightful, shaking wind that caused them to tremble. And then tongues of flame appeared above their heads. We read Scripture like this. Tongues of flame appeared above their heads. It's pretty exciting. No. This is a propane torch. I use it for killing weeds. How we read Scripture normally? No, I'm not going to light it. Our fire alert system gives us 1 minute to go back and hit the deactivate button when there's a false alarm, and I don't run that fast. But, I mean, this is the kind of intensity we're talking about. When I fire up this propane torch, it roars, and blue flame shoots out about that far. That's the kind of flame we're talking about. It's far more wondrous to think of those blasting winds and blue roaring flame appearing above their heads. If I took a raise hand survey of how many of you have had your lives changed by a television show, I'm guessing there's probably not going to be a lot of hands raised. Now, back in the day, perhaps there were folks that watched a Billy Graham crusade on television and were moved to follow Christ, but TV has got a lot worse and has a lot less valuable content these days. These events were life-changing. These apostles went out and suddenly, in a crowd of people from everywhere, started proclaiming the good news of the risen Christ. And everyone who was there heard the word in their own language. Can you imagine? This susurrus of voices, everyone hearing in their own tongue, crowds gasping at this life-changing news. Then they went so far as to gather in each other's homes daily, worshiping together, breaking bread, and sharing meals together. And then they took it a step further. When there were people in need, they willingly, if they had the resources, put them into a pool. And they appointed deacons to go out and disperse those goods among widows and orphans and others in need. I've never been spurred on like that by a television show. This Spirit, which came and rested on the apostles, was the same Spirit by which Jesus Christ performed the miracles of healing and exorcism. This same Spirit is accessible to us. In the passage from Philippians, this is an old hymn of the early church. Jesus Christ, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Think back to the beginning of Jesus' ministry. What happened? John the Baptist emerged from the wilderness and proclaimed that one who was coming would be greater than he, so great that he would not even be fit to untie his sandals. And yet Jesus came to him and asked him, "John, would you baptize me?" And when Jesus entered the waters and was baptized, the heavens opened up, and the Holy Spirit, in the form of a dove, came to rest upon Jesus. And the voice of God from the heavens said, "This is my Son. I am well pleased with him." Now again, when we read over that story, we kind of think about some little, you know, perhaps white pigeon coming down and resting on Jesus' shoulder like we think of pigeons coming down on statues. The heavens opened up, and this dove came down. When Jesus received the Holy Spirit at his baptism, he had emptied himself of godlike privilege, but suddenly was empowered by the Spirit to do wondrous and miraculous things. In fact, it says next that the Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness 40 days, where he was tempted by Satan. It wasn't by his own power that Jesus stood up against Satan, but the Spirit which filled him. We who believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and follow him receive this same Spirit. It dwells within us. The early Anabaptist believed that there was a threefold baptism. baptism by water, baptism by spirit, and they believe that if one chose to follow Jesus Christ, that one opens oneself to the possibility of suffering as Christ did, which was represented by the baptism of fire. Those Anabaptists went to the stake under persecution, executed with songs and scripture on their lips, not cursing, not hating those who were tormenting and ending their lives. It was not by their own power. It was by the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll throw in a little reference here for young folks and perhaps a little older than young, if you remember seeing these in the movies, the Star Wars movies. Jedi Master Yoda, little green guy, is training Luke Skywalker in the ways of the Jedi, and Luke is just not getting it. And Yoda gives him this instruction, admonition even. Do or do not, there is no try. To access this Spirit, to become familiar with the Spirit, is akin to preparing for a marathon. When one decides to run a marathon, one doesn't plan to do it the next day. One has to begin running greater and greater distances in preparation for the marathon. I don't know how you would try running. I think it would look a bit ridiculous. You'd sort of get ready in your pose and take a few steps, and I suppose I would have tried running. Tried implies that you started something and you ended it. Tried is speaking to the past. It's either do or do not. You run or you don't in preparation for this marathon. Coming to familiarize yourself with the Holy Spirit is just like that. We begin small. We can't expect that there's going to be miraculous things happen, healing people, unless we are intimately relating with the Holy Spirit. It takes practice. The first way that we can become familiarized with the Holy Spirit and how it acts in our lives is to pick up the Bible, to read the book of Acts, that Pentecost story where the violent, whipping wind comes into the room, these blue, roaring tongues of fire above their heads, and on and on and on. You will find that the New Testament, from the book of Acts on, is an instruction manual for understanding how the Holy Spirit acts. The second thing that one can do is to tune one's spirit radar. We often have times in our lives where we find ourselves sort of internally stirred by something that we might call coincidence. It was a convergence of people and place and time that just sort of makes us chuckle, perhaps wonder how this happened. It may not just be coincidence. At that intersection may also be the Holy Spirit. So one of the ways that you can begin to relate to the Holy Spirit is to follow those Spirit radar pings. If suddenly in one of these seeming coincidences, one is compelled to help somebody, to speak to somebody, whether it's helping somebody out a door, loading groceries, being patient in the grocery line, the department store line, while someone is paying with change for a $15 purchase, seeing someone who is downcast and going to them and saying hello. The more you pay attention to these Spirit radar pings, the more you will find that they happen. You'll find that radar pinging everywhere. One of my favorite poems is God's Grandeur by Gerard Manley Hopkins, a Jesuit who wrote these wonderful, wonderful poems. And the line that sticks with me, the bit that sticks with me is this. The world is so filled with the grandeur of God that it flares out like shining from shook foil. Imagine you're across the lawn from another person. They've got a sheet of tin foil. The sun is up midday and bright, and you start wiggling this sheet of tin foil. Separated across the distance, you're going to see flashes. That's what Hopkins was getting at. God's grandeur, God's actions and presence in the world flare out like these shinings. That's akin to what I'm talking about, this spirit radar. Pay attention, act on it, even if it happens that perhaps the spirit wasn't there in some active, phenomenal way. What's the harm in saying hello to a person who seems downcast or being patient, helping someone? Well, you did good works, which we're also supposed to do. The other way that you can come to discern the action of the Spirit in your life is that when you feel an internal nudge or an internal urging, listen for external confirmation. When you feel that nudge and you pay attention to it, you may very well find that people are coming up to you saying, you know, I have noticed your gift of such and such. Or, I appreciate the way that you feel compelled to help in this way in the community. I am always blessed by the way that you read and share and teach Scripture. If those external confirmations are lining up with your internal urgings, bingo! It's important to pay attention to that, especially with those urgings which may be life-changing. Even though if we choose something that perhaps the Spirit is not leading in, there is no place we can go where God is not already. So it's going to be okay, as long as we're tuning in to the presence of the Spirit and desiring God's will for our lives. Passage that was read to us this morning instructed us to shine like stars. That's some intensity. These aren't stars that are just sort of distant dots in the sky. These are giant, flaming balls of gas out in space. That's the kind of intensity. It's propane torch intensity. And not only in that shining of shook foil do we see the action of the Holy Spirit, but we really do shine like stars when we follow the Holy Spirit. We become those flaring, shining moments of shook foil for others. Read Scripture. Grab that New Testament and read from Acts on. It's a manual for understanding the action of the Holy Spirit. Tune your spirit radar. Pay attention to those pings and act on them. Even if it's just coincidence, what harm does it do to do a good act? Listen for those times when internal urgings match up with external urgings. That confirmation is important. We are to shine like stars. We're not to go out into the world and be a click lighter. It's do or do not. There is no try. So let's do it. Amen.